Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that our lives in this world are intended to stand out in stark contrast to the world around us. That our days, our hours, our minutes are to be filled with those things that demonstrate our confidence in a life to come, that demonstrate a hope that is beyond the understanding of this world. And Father, our lives are intended to be a source, a channel of blessing into a dark, death-filled world. Father, we pray that by the Spirit, dear God, you'd lead us and guide us in our understanding of who we are and what we're called to, and that you would bless through your word this understanding and enrich our understanding, that we might have a deeper vision of the days, the hours that we have, that they would truly be lived with thanksgiving. And we give you praise in Jesus' name as we look to you now. Amen. Well, my thoughts for today kind of leave me a place. They're not one of those ones where I don't know where to start. But several years ago, the Lord put this phrase on my heart that our lives should be lived paced by thankfulness, not lived at the speed of lust. And in thinking about thankfulness, and we'll start where I was never even going to go, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where very familiar verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul, in giving the Thessalonians directions and kind of understandings of direction, what should fill their days, what their heart attitude should be, and what it is that their character, behavior in the world, their interactions with the world, and their daily walks should be like. In verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So we as Christians, just taking this one phrase by Paul, but it does align with all of Scripture, that we as Christians in this world today should be thankful. Thankful. Thankful toward God. There's a difference there. A lot of people are thankful for things that aren't really giving thanks to God or glorifying to God. But we as Christians are to be giving thanks because this is the will of God. It is the will of God. And this is very, very important as we look at this topic today. This is very important to know the will of God. A lot of people, you'll say, "Well, I wish I knew what the will of God for my life was. I wish I knew what God wanted me to do with my life." Well, we always have to start at the very fundamentals, the basics, and build from there. And one thing at the very, very beginning of all things is to be concerned with walking in the will of God. Walking in the will of God, being aware of the will of God in whatever level, in this one, just being thankful, giving thanks is doing the will of God. And having that heart attitude of thankfulness aligns with God's will for our lives. Because He has given us the greatest opportunity, the greatest gift, the greatest opening, the greatest savior that we could ever hope for. He's given us the answer to every question. He's given us light that pierces through any darkness. He's given us a refreshing water for our souls that quenches any thirst. There is nothing greater, no greater gift that we have been given than the gift of life and hope in Christ our Lord and Savior. But in everything, Paul writes, give thanks, because this is the will of God. The will of God. We should be concerned about walking in and doing and aligning, having our hearts aligned with the will of God. Everything else is vanity. Everything else is sin. Everything else is contrary to the universe in every way. Because the will of God champions over all things and is what the universe is all about. It's what life is about, is the will of God. And we can think about the things that occupy our days, occupy our hearts, occupy our minds, the things that we give our energies and our thoughts to, the things that we spend our time doing. And though we are involved in lots of different things, life is that way, there's things to do. But at the base of all of it is, does this align with the will of God for my life? Does this align, as verse 19 says, quench not the Spirit? Does this align with the Spirit's leading in my life? Because the Spirit will only lead us in the will of God. But on the other hand, we live in a world where obedience or acceptance of the will of God and the Word of God, the Word and the will, same thing, where in obedience to the revealed Word or will of the Almighty Creator of all things seems absurd. A tremendous contrast between giving thanks and being thankful in all things, and having our lives paced by thankfulness, versus a world that is living at the speed of lust, of cravings, of what they want, what the world wants, what the mindset, what the goals and the purposes of the life in this world are about. And they think being paced with a thankfulness towards the Almighty Creator of all things, who has and rules the universe according to his will, and as Jesus gave the people an example of prayer, part of that was, you know, about is a part about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should long for the Lord's will to be fulfilled and carried out in our lives with thankfulness. And until we can have that, in a sense, that mindset of thankfulness prior to moving forward in our days and in our hours, is to get ahead of the speed of thankfulness. The pace of thankfulness. Because thankfulness will cause us to live our lives in a completely different level, at a completely different pace than if you would at the speed of lust. Because lust, those cravings for the things of our will, changes our days, changes what we do, changes our activities, changes how we view each hour and each minute, as if it's mine. But our lives are not our own. But we live in a world where the obedience to following and even seeking or even believing that there is a will of God is an absurdity. An absurdity. And it's so absurd that the world ends in absolute, as we read in the book of Revelation and read in the prophets, this world will end in absolute chaos and trouble because of the lusts of men, the lusts of mankind, the cravings of mankind. I'm going to go next thing to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Starting with verse 1. Again, very familiar verses. Where James writes, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" Where do they come from? Where does this, what's the source of the wars and the fightings among us? "Come they not hence or from here, even of your lusts that war in your members?" And the word lust, we get in the New Testament, really speaks of is longing, a longing, especially for what is forbidden or wrong. A longing for that which is wrong, or let's say contrary rather than wrong, longing for that which is contrary to the will of God. That's where wars come from. That's where fightings come from. That's where where horrific crimes and sins and murder and everything that adds to the discord and the darkness of this world spring from the longings contrary to the will of God. We'll get into that more as we have time. I have a feeling this might go into next Sunday. He says, "Ye lust, ye long, you have these cravings, and have not." So as we read in Proverbs, I believe it is, "He who lusts for silver is not satisfied therewith." So people have these longings and these cravings, and they pursue them, and they may get some of those things, but it does not satisfy. They long for things, and they always have a want. There's always a want, a longing for something more, something better, something else. "Ye kill and desire to have." Notice, nobody is going to stand between me and what I want. I'm willing to kill in order to achieve and to gather to myself those things that I long for that are contrary to the will of God. But I want them. I don't care if God doesn't want me to have them. I don't care if it's contrary to the will of God. I want them, therefore, I long for them, and I'm willing to kill to get them. I think you know where this is going to be leading us, clear back to Genesis 3. "And you desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." Again, asking God for those things that will satisfy our hearts and our souls seems to be an absurdity. Absolutely discounted and considered ridiculous by the world around us. But this same sense of longing and lust, as James is talking about, is infected the body of Christ. It infects believers as well, as he gets into here. "Because you ask not." If you ask, he says, verse 3, "and receive, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." So we can even ask, we can pray, we can ask God for certain things. We have these longings, Lord, I want this or I want that. Yet we can ask amiss. In other words, we're seeking those things that are not in alignment with the will of God. Is God going to answer that prayer? Is he going to bless us according to, is God going to be like don't know what you want to, whatever you want to call it, but who's just going to supply everything we want just because we want it. We have children like that, and they want what they want, and they ask us for it, and we give it to them even though it's not good for them. What does that create? Lots of problems. It creates a spoiled child. The household is turned upside down, and it destroys lives. It just creates all manner of problems. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your longings. Lord, I really need more money. Why? Well, so I can go buy this and buy that that have nothing to do with thankfulness toward God or honoring God. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the scripture states this in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusts or longs to envy and want more, want what others have. So there's this whole lifestyle, this whole train of longing for those things that I want. And kind of speaking very generally, that is in the world. The longings for what I want, the things that I desire, the things that I think are good for me, that are contrary, they are simply a longing, and involve envy. I want something that like somebody else has, and it's contrary to God's will for our lives. Contrary to God's will and God's order and God's purpose. The world says, I don't care. I want it. I have, as we hear so much, I have the right to pursue what I want. And nobody should tell me it's wrong. I want it, therefore it is right for me. I want it, and therefore don't tell me it's wrong because I have that right. Well, there might be certain misconstrued laws in civil courses that might protect some rights like that. And that's where the world is, and why the world is in such a mess and will continue to get worse and worse. We have no rights when it comes before God. We have no rights to that which is contrary to the will of God. Thankfulness puts our hearts and our minds back in that pace with the will of God, where I might long for that, but wait a minute. I realize that I want to run after the things I want to run after, but when I pause to give thanks to God and acknowledge the will of God, that this is the will of God in my life, when I get back to that pace of the living according to the will of God and seeking that first, it changes lives. It changes lives. Let's turn then to Genesis chapter 3, where oftentimes the lead-in thoughts or words to this portion of Scripture with Eve and the temptation and the interactions with the serpent. We think of it, we speak of it as the origins of sin. The origins of sin. This is where sin began in the human race. Now, we know it began with Lucifer in the presence of God in the spiritual realm. But here the serpent brings it into God's creation, into the human race. And so this is the origin, we often talk about the origin of sin in the human race. And let's go ahead and read through the first seven verses. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. When he says, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So in other words, the serpent interjects into Eve's pure heart and mind that there is a world, that there is a realm, that there is something outside of the will of God that is good, that's of benefit to her. And so here, her reaction to this in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and I'll read that more later, but I just want to interject that one thought. Suddenly, when the consideration is given and the thought is introduced to someone that there is something better for you outside of the will of God, there's something good for you, and something that you long for, and something that you would like outside of the will of God, when that thought is introduced into Eve's heart and mind, immediately that world, that realm outside of God's will, her immediate reaction was longing or lust or desire for those things out there, for those things that lie outside of the will of God. So I would say, you know, yes, this is the origins of sin in the human race, but also we see here the birth, if you would, or the origins of lust outside of the will of God, a longing for something other than the will of God in a human's life. He opened the door by trickery, by design, that's by intent. He created in Eve a longing through enticement. A longing through enticement into a whole new realm that she didn't know existed. And as we will read later, this changed the way she saw her person. She saw her life. She said, all of a sudden, her brain was thinking things that were contrary and leading her in a way that was contrary to being thankful. She'd lived in paradise. How many times have people longed, oh, that we could just go back to paradise and slap Eve's hands and everything would be great? Here we find the origins of lust, of longing, of cravings, of desires beyond and outside the bounds. And the will of God has boundaries. And that exists in our lives today as well. The will of God has boundaries. There's things that we do not do because they are cravings, they are longings, they are lusts that do not align with the will of God for my life, that do not align with the will of God and His work in the world. And the Holy Spirit, as we read in Thessalonians, quench not the Spirit. The Spirit is given to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us. and the Spirit leads us otherwise. We have God's help. We have His assistance in walking with Him, in living with Him, and receiving guidance and instruction in the Word of God, that boundary between our longings, our lusts, our cravings, our desires, and the will of God needn't be breached. That we can truly live and have our lives paced with thankfulness for the will of God, thankfulness toward God, that we are living within His will and the limitations and the boundaries of His will, rather than going out into that unexplored frontier and wilderness of chasing after longings and cravings and lusts. Here we find the beginnings, the origin of lust. And that lust, as we read in James, that longing is the source of wars and fightings and murder and discord. I want something that you have. I want something more than what I have at the moment. And rather than doing a check with God and say, well, am I in line with the will of God and being thankful for what I have? As Paul says, you know, with food and raiment, therewith be content. One thing that's to mark a Christian life and a believer's life is a contentedness. Here, Eve wasn't even contented with paradise, but she had nothing to compare it to. She didn't realize this was the best that the human race on earth would ever have it. She didn't know that. She thought there was something better than absolute paradise. But see, lusts and longings don't care about the will of God. They don't care about truth. Our longings don't care about reality. The longings of the world only care about what do I want and when do I want it? I want it now. And anything that gets in my way, I'm willing to fight against it, that I can that my will would be done rather than the Lord's. But when the serpent said to her, says, you know, surely you're not going to die. There are no consequences. That's the other big lesson message in this world today since this time, really. But the message is there are no consequences, negative consequences, for disobeying God, for going beyond the will of God or outside of the boundaries of the will of God. I think we see a little bit more of it now as people are more and more detached from. You see these stories all the time about people that live in cities and aren't used to being out, and they go to vacation, say in Yellowstone Park, and well, look, there's a nice, soft, cuddly bear. Let me go up and see if I can get it to eat out of my hand. Instead, the bear eats their hand. You know, there's this total detachment from the world that we live in. Even so, there's a total detachment. When the will of God, when people are not aware that there is a God, that there is a will that He has for their lives, and they're just busily going about longing about whatever they long for and pursuing whatever they want to do without any regard, with checking in with God and say, well, Lord, is this something that's okay with you? Is this something that you have for me? Is this something that I should continue with or pursue? We live in a world that is running full speed toward the pursuit of what the world wants, with total disregard for the will of God, and considering that there even being a will of God is totally absurd. Why should I be bothered with checking with something I cannot see or talking to someone I cannot hear? So immediately, as soon as the serpent opened this possibility, he said, you know, God's withholding good from you. there's something a lot more out. There's a whole new life out there that is better for you that he's trying to keep you from. And really, that has not changed with the way the world as a whole looks at the things of God. Or the fact of God. It's absurd. Why would I be want to place myself under the constraints of God when I can live free? And I can pursue the things that I want. I can pursue my longings, my cravings, my desires, my lusts. And I can find also a whole new exciting life in the world if I do so. So immediately, when he opened this door and this possibility, it kind of exploded in Eve's mind. All of a sudden, there's this whole new thought she'd never thunk before, that there's a life for me out there where I do not have to be constrained by the will of God, by the word of God. The will of the Almighty Creator of all that is considered of no value. Absurdity. Even Psalm 2 talks about that. You know, let's break off the chains of the Lord and then break out of his bondage that he puts on us. We want to live our lives. And he can't stop us. That's what the origin of lust brought into the world. Well, again, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Was it good for food? Nope, it didn't change a bit. God said, don't even touch it. It'll destroy you. It'll kill you. Don't even touch it. But she saw it was something that I want to take inside my body and have it become part of my system. You know, we won't get into talking about vaccines or things, but there's people that, you know, the drugs and things that people put into their bodies, they don't know how they're going to react. It's very sad, but the crazy things that oftentimes that young people and even adults and addicts, drug addicts will inject into their bodies. As if how can some good come from injecting poisons into our bodies? What good can come of that? But their longings, their lusts, their desires are, I see this could be good for me. This could be really a fun time. This could really be, a whole new adventure. Open a whole new realm of living for me if I put this stuff in this syringe and stick it into my blood veins and put it in. That's what longings and lusts and cravings of this world and of the flesh do. They totally separate us from the wisdom and the knowledge and thankfulness toward God. She saw it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. This is probably where we'll end up going next week, in a sense. How many things are pleasant to the eyes that are poison for the soul? Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Whatever somebody sees and they want. We live in a world that says, well, you want it, you know, go for it. That's fine. We're good with that. And all manner of things erupt from that thought. Just like, again, explosion of mind. Well, hey, I can do this, or I can do that. Or I found this new interest, this new hobby, this new thing, or this new activity that I want to do. And it just seems like it pleases me in every way. I think it's just really a great thing. And it was pleasant to the eyes. And so Eve thought that, you know, rather than what God said about it, do not desire it, do not eat of it, do not touch it. She said, this is what I want. This is what I want in my life. and her longings, her lusts, her cravings, her desires, as it says, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. I am so much smarter. I'm so much better head. I will be so much better head if I give my life to something that God has said, this is not good for you. And that's where trouble comes. That's where lusts and longings and this deceit that there is something better for this world than the will of God. That will all be corrected when Jesus comes again. There is going to be justice. There is going to be a judgment. There is going to be this massive correction when Jesus appears in power and glory and demonstrates for all the world to see with their natural eyes who's in control. And it will be a painful shock to the world. Fortunately, we get the heavenly point of view when this takes place. But it will be a shock to this world. Gosh, Jesus really is Lord. The Creator really does have the power and authority over my life. But she saw it as a tree to be desired, to be longed for. Completely contrary to the will of God. She was no longer thankful for living in paradise and having all of her needs met. Everything. She had no needs. She had no shortcomings, no shortage of anything. God had supplied it all. The same stands true today. God has promised to meet our every need. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ who loved us. We have no needs. But we do have longings and cravings and think that our lives are lacking something. Well, reading on. She took the fruit thereof and took it into her body. Now she was one with rebellion. It became part of her system. Not so much physiologically or biologically, though it did. She must have enjoyed it. She shared it with Adam and said, this is really good stuff. You know, this disobeying God, this fruit, you know, I think God really did lie to us. This is really good. The poison was in the fact that she went beyond the will of God. Not so much the fruit, but she took what God said was wrong and bad and would bring death. And through the filter of lust and the viewpoint of lust, it was changed into something good in her sight. But what she brought into her system was into her spirit. That there is life, that there is good, that there is something better outside of the will of God for my life. No longer thankful for living in paradise. And we might say that being Christians, having Christ in us, the hope of glory, the assurance of glory, and being called with a heavenly calling and being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, we live in a spiritual paradise in Christ today. And we have need of nothing. God will supply all our need according to the good pleasure of His will in Christ Jesus our Lord. But here Eve discovered a whole new universe of lust, of longing, of craving. It opened all sorts of doors, all sorts of possibilities, but none of them are good. Not one of them are good. That's what lust does. That's what lust creates in us. When the door is opened, and through Christ and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, bit by bit we come to understand more and more to be like Jesus as he prayed in the garden. That though God may set something before us that is not does not appear to be pleasant or good, what God sets before us ends up where all things work together for good to those that love God, that called according to his purpose. So as Jesus prayed in the garden before going to the cross, he said, "Father, if possible, let this pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. The flesh, the body, does not see good, any good in suffering and the end of life." But Jesus said, nevertheless, he reined those longings, those cravings, those drives, those desires. He reined those in, back within the boundaries of the will of God. He said, nevertheless, thy will, not mine, be done. And that is the only way we escape the ravagings of our longings, is by bringing the desires of our hearts and minds back inside that boundary of the will of God. Being thankful and content with those things such as we have, and not giving our time and our resources and our energies to pursuing those things that are contrary to the will of God. Because we see plenty of examples around us in this world to see what lust has done and the destruction it has wrought in the human race. There is no good thing outside of the will of God. That fact must be settled in our hearts and in our minds. And thank God that he establishes that truth in us as we grow in our understanding of him and our relationship with him and understanding the Word of God. But this one fact remains and will always remain. There is no good thing for me, for you, for the world, outside of God's will. And as we become thankful for all that God has blessed us with, we understand that more and more, and we can begin to fear the things that we long, and we learn to overcome the lusts of our hearts and minds through the power of God and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Thankfulness is a whole different world than lust. Thankfulness puts us in the very center of God's will. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that our lives in this world are truly blessed. We thank you, Lord, that we have need of nothing other than Christ. Father, bless this word, bless this understanding to us. Help us to have a deeper understanding and a better ability through the power of the Spirit to identify the longings and the desires, the cravings that we have that are not of you. Let us rather crave to be pleasing, desiring to be pleasing to you in all things. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness, your grace, and your goodness towards us in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
786, verse 1.
Number 786, verse 1. Let's stand. Count your blessings. First verse. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, claim them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. If we're busy counting blessings, we won't have time to pursue the lusts and longings of this world. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen.